You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now Moses was keeping the flocks of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he left his flocks on the west side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, 'I will turn aside and see the great sight, why the bush is not burned.'" Verse 4. "And when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.'" Verse 5. "And then he said, 'Do not come near. Take off your sandals, off your feet, for the place in which you are standing is holy ground.'" The title of this message is Holy Spirit, Part 1. He's a Holy Spirit. To know the Holy Spirit, you have to know His holiness. Let's pray. Father, we just declare right now, would you give us ears to hear? Would you give us hearts to receive? Would you give us minds to understand what your Spirit is saying? Lord, we just declare right now, no spirit but the Holy Spirit is welcome in this place. Come on, would you just pray that with me right now? Use those words. Pray it over your home or wherever you are right now. We declare no spirit but the Holy Spirit is welcome here. We declare, Holy Spirit, you are set apart. We declare no fear is welcome here. We say, fear go, Holy Spirit come. We declare no spirit of sickness or infirmity is welcome here. We say, you have to go, Holy Spirit come. Father, we declare, have your way in this place. Lord, I declare that your Holy Spirit is going to breathe upon its word. I declare the Logos word is going to become alive. It's going to become Rhema word. Father, I pray right now, Father, that you would speak to us today. Father, I thank you that nobody came to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. So we just celebrated Easter a few weeks ago, or what we call Easter. And anytime you say Easter to people that have been serving the Lord for years, they immediately correct you and let you know it's Resurrection Sunday. So Easter and or Resurrection Sunday, both the same thing. What we're talking about is Jesus died on a cross on a Good Friday. And 3 days later, he got up out of the tomb and he rose from the dead. And the Bible says that he was on the earth for a short period of time. And then he left and he ascended on the Mount of Olives, the same place where he's going to come back one day and return and walk down through a mercy gate and take his seat upon a mercy seat. That's Bible prophecy. But after he ascended from heaven, he said this in Acts 1. He said, soon I'm sending the helper. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. He's going to baptize you in a Holy Spirit's fire. And in Acts chapter 2, we call it the day of Pentecost, or 50 days later, the Holy Spirit ascended on the disciples when they were praying together in an upper room, and they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Tongues of fire rested on them, and they began to speak in other tongues. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the church was birthed on that day. We are coming up to the day where we celebrate the church's birthday. So we are in a season of the Holy Spirit. After Jesus came to the earth, performed more signs and wonders than any books in the world could ever record or hold, he left us, he offered up his Spirit on the cross. He left us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit ascended on the disciples on the day of Pentecost. We are in a season of the Holy Spirit. A couple years ago, I was a traveling minister before we said yes to the call to plant Mercy Culture Church and youth and young adult event. And I get there and everybody is dressed like Pastor Charlie in three-piece suits. And I am dressed kind of how I'm dressed this morning. And I have these kind of jeans on and no socks that appeared to be on and a t-shirt on. And I'm looking around and everybody, and I text my admin. I was like, hey, I think there was a mix-up on the dress code. And I mean, everybody, children are in three-piece suits. And it was an ordination service for an Assemblies of God, a presbytery service. And I was the guest speaker, and I got confused on where I was. And I got up in front of the congregation, and I said, I strategically dressed this way. I said, I want to let you know that these pants are holy pants. They kind of thought it was funny, and then the Holy Spirit wrecked the place. This morning, I'm going to be teaching on the Holy Spirit. But before we could talk about the Holy Spirit, we have to stop and pay attention to what God named His Spirit. He called His Spirit holy. On Wednesday night, I was driving home from the office, and I'm about to turn off the freeway and get off my exit, and I clearly heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and said, I want you to minister on my holiness. It's interesting, sometimes you could say something so much you forget the meaning of it. You could become familiar with a phrase, familiar with a name, that you lose its impact. He calls His Spirit a Holy Spirit. When we talk about holy, we're talking about holiness. And you can't even begin to describe God with any other word than the word holy. Holiness is the one word that even attempts to begin to describe that. Holiness, or holy, is the word that God uses to describe Himself. I want you to think about that for a second, how significant names are in the Bible and how God changes people's names. Abram to Abraham, how He changes Paul to Saul, the power of changing names, the power of being specific to names. When Jacob wrestled with an angel and becomes Israel, it has a name change that alters his destiny forever. God is intentional about names, and He called Himself holy. It's God's description of Himself. And if you want to know or understand the Holy Spirit, you have to know and understand holiness. That's the scripture in Exodus 33:13 that we found in Mercy Culture on. Teach me your ways that I may know you and find favor. How do we know God? We have to know His holiness. To understand holiness, we have to start in God's Word. You know that there's nearly 700 references in the Bible to the word holy. There's an additional 180 references to the word holiness. That means there's nearly 900 unique scriptures that speak to this word holiness. The word holy in the Hebrew is the word kodesh, which means to be set apart, to be consecrated, to be dedicated, or the most holy. I love Exodus 15:11. It says, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds and doing wonders? The question was, who is like the Lord? The answer is no one and nothing. He is set apart. That's why every other god is a lowercase g and He is a capital G. It's why every other Lord is only one capital L and He is the Lord that is all capitals. There is no one like Him. He is set apart. That's why Jezebel knew that she couldn't even stand toe-to-toe with God. She knew that she didn't have any authority like God. She just wanted to be an option. He is set apart. God is set apart from everything else. The word holy is a biblical term and literally means that God is separating from the world that which He chooses to devote from Himself. It means God is set apart. You say, what is He set apart from? Everything. He is set apart from everything. And if He calls us to be holy, it means that we are to be set apart from everything. Means our minds are to be set apart from worldly things. Our bodies are to be set apart from worldly things. Our spirits are to be set apart from worldly things. And God said, I set myself apart. I distance myself from all worldly things, all carnal things, all natural things. And then I take my people and I bring them to me as I'm set apart.
The process of holiness is you being set apart to God because you're devoted unto Him. Holiness is the character of God, or it is the nature of God. Now remember, that word holiness means to be set apart. I just want you to think about what we call holy and the words that we didn't even realize that we use holiness with. We say things like Holy Spirit. His Spirit is set apart. If holy means set apart, His Spirit is set apart from every other spirit. That's why when we open up every service at Mercy Culture, we say no spirit. Come on, help me this morning. But the Holy Spirit is welcome in this place. Why? We are setting apart because I don't know what spirits followed you in, but when they followed you in, we want them to know you don't have authority here. This place is set apart. We say the Holy Bible. What does your Bible say, Rashad, on the cover? Most Bibles say Holy Bible. Do you know what it means to be a Holy Bible? It means it's set apart from every other book. It means this, that you could read every other book. You could read Moby Dick 1,000 times. And guess what? It's about a dumb whale. But you could read the book of Jonah 1,000 times. And when he breathes his spirit upon it, that whale or big fish, I don't know which one it is, all of a sudden it's alive and it's true. And the Spirit of God is speaking on that book. Why? It's a holy book. It's set apart. Do you know why it's holy? It's holy because the Holy Spirit wrote it. He set apart. I thought man wrote it. Yes. God used man as instruments. The same way that your pen is writing your notes or your computer is writing your notes. That's actually what is writing your notes, but you are the author of those words. It's the same way the Holy Spirit is the author of the book who inspired men to write according to His words. It's a holy book. It's set apart. There's nothing like it. He wrote it. That's why so many people have a hard time reading the Bible or understanding the Bible, because they don't know the author. One of our apostolic elders is Dr. Michael Brown. He's a good friend of mine. He forwarded my book, Gay Awareness, and we have conversations on a regular basis, and I'll call him up just about every month or so, and I'll say, hey, I want to ask you a question. You wrote this in your book. What'd you mean by this? And you say, well, this is what I was talking about, and this is the research, and this is the viewpoint that I had. And it's cool because when I have questions about a book, I'll just go to the author and I'll ask him questions about what he wrote. If you're struggling reading the Bible, just ask the author the questions. Just ask the Holy Spirit, hey, tell me what you meant in Psalms when you said you will make me lie down. Hey, tell me what you meant in Exodus when you said that. Tell me what you meant when you said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. You got questions. Quit Googling them. Ask the author. He wrote the book. We call Jerusalem the holy city because it's set apart. Why? Because it's the city that Jesus died in. It's the city He rose from the grave in. It's the city that He ascended to heaven in. It's the city that He's coming back in. He's not coming back to Fort Worth, Texas. People say all the time, Texas is God's country. Don't get me wrong. I love to be an honorary Texan. And you know what they say? If you weren't lucky enough to be born here, you move here as fast as you can. I do have a little Texan in us because Jackson Porter, my youngest son, was born here. So we're grafted in. Amen. But Texas is not God's country. Israel is. There's something different about that holy city. There's something different about it. It's set apart from anywhere else. You know why? Because when you go to Galilee and you pull a rock out of the Lake of Galilee, ain't nobody's pulling rocks out of Lake Worth and keeping them. Do you know why? Because Jesus did not walk on the water of Lake Worth. He walked on the water of the Sea of Galilee. So do you know what that means? Every single rock in that sea has significance. That's why you see grown adults go and find rocks in the water and take them home. Take vials of water from that place. Why? Because Jesus walked on it. It's a holy place. Scripture calls
his presence, the place where his tangible presence lies, the Holy of Holies. Not only is it set apart, but it's set apart from everything that is already set apart. It's his tangible presence of God. Exodus chapter 26, 33. And you shall hang the veil from the claps and bring the ark of the testimony in there within the veil. And the veil shall separate you from a holy place to the most holy place. Do you know the scripture calls us saints? Which means this, holy ones. Which means that we are called to be set apart unto God. Do you know that the Sabbath, scripture calls it a holy day? Do you know the Sabbath is the only commandment that Christians willingly break? This is usually where a Facebook theologian jumps on and says, we're not under the law. And I say, wonderful. Thank you for that ministry. But do you realize that there's no other commandment that we willingly break? No one ever says murder. Oh, we're not under the law. No, when do they say that? They say it when there's something that you don't want to do. So what's the heart of the Sabbath? It's resting. Jesus said that Sabbath wasn't made for man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. What does that mean? Is it's there to serve you, a holy day to be set apart. The Sabbath is holy. It means it's set apart from every other day. So God created the earth in 6 days. He created everything, all humanity in 6 days. And on the seventh, he set it apart to rest. He set it apart to breathe in. God wasn't tired, but he was modeling what you and I both need. It's set apart. People say all the time, I tithe my time. There's no scripture that supports that. You Sabbath your time. It's a day that's set apart. Let me ask you, is your Sabbath set apart? Are you keeping your Sabbath holy? Speaking of the tithe, according to scripture, the tithe is holy. Leviticus 27 verse 30 says, every tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land, the fruit of the trees is the Lord's, it is holy unto the Lord. Do you know what that means is the first 10% of all of your income is holy unto the Lord. It is set apart. Could you imagine holding on to what belongs to the God and is called to be set apart and you keep it in your account instead of his? That's what people do when they withhold the tithe. The tithe is holy according to scripture. I came to tell you this morning that holiness is not old-fashioned. Holiness is not a description for a denomination. Holiness is not being religious. It's actually being Christ-like. Listen, holiness isn't legalism. It's godliness. And I want you to know that holiness is God's idea. So a practical position, practically speaking, what part of your life needs to be set apart? I'm asking you, write it down. What part of your life needs to be set apart? What part of your personal life have you not set apart and devoted unto him? Do you know that you cannot be whole without holiness? That's why there's so many people that think a relationship will make them whole. They think that finances, if you just made a certain amount of money, you would be whole. If you just had this thing, you would be whole. Isn't it interesting that everything that you thought that you had to have, the moment you get it, it still does not meet the need you thought it would meet? Come on, I remember being a kid and just 16 years old, as soon as I have a car, man, as soon as I have a car. And then you get a little older, man, as soon as I have a girlfriend. And then you get a little older, as soon as I have a wife. And you get older, as soon as I have kids. And you get a little older, as soon as the kids move out. And as soon as I have this, and as soon as I have that. And you're always looking for something to satisfy, to fill you. Isn't it interesting that the wages of sin are death, and it's fun for a season, but it never satisfies, it never fills you. The thing that you thought would go and have fun, the club doesn't fill you, that relationship doesn't fill you, that addiction doesn't fill you, that thing that you thought I just need a little more of and it's going to satisfy me, it's going to make me whole, it doesn't. Why? Because only holiness can. And until you start looking for holiness, everything's going to be missing. Hmm. You can't dwell in a holy place without holiness. Hebrews 12:14 says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. To know the Holy Spirit is to know holiness. Scripture declares he's a holy God. The heavens declare it in Revelation chapter 4. The Bible says in the throne room of God, there's angels day and night declaring one thing over and over. Holy, holy, holy. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, they're declaring holy, holy, holy. Do you know holiness is what guides your prayer life? Even in Matthew chapter 6, it's the beginning of the Lord's prayer. The Lord says this. He says, this is how you shall pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be, or holy is your name. Holiness should guide your prayer life. When you become a member of Mercy Culture and you go through MC Connect, the reason why we have everybody go through that is because we want to disciple you. And every single person that goes through it gets a personalized ministry plan. And in that personalized ministry plan is a prayer plan. Why? Because we want to teach you how to pray. We want to teach you how to unlock heaven. It was an amazing thing. We fasted for 40 days and believed God for this miracle property. And the moment that it happened, I said, all right, let's do it again. And let's teach thousands of people how to do it. Because what would happen if we had thousands of people who knew how to access the throne room of God, how to get the attention of God? Watch, it starts with holiness. Every single morning in my prayer time starts with, Father, you're holy, you're holy, you're holy. Jesus, you're holy, you're holy, you're holy. Spirit of the living God, Holy Spirit, you are holy, you're holy, you're holy. Listen, it's not religious, it's access. The Lord showed me a vision once of a boomerang. My goal in life, my goal of my prayer time, my goal of my daily encounter, the goal of MC Kids, the goal of our worship team, the goal of our church is to get to the holy place every day. From corporate encounters to daily personal encounters. So when you declare he's holy, what you're doing is you're throwing a spiritual boomerang to where you're about to go. It's a spiritual guide that will take you to where you're going. Speaking of daily encounters, it's hard to pray when you're living in an unholy life. It's difficult to pray. What I mean by difficult, there's no grace for it. What do I mean by that? There's no empowerment of the Holy Spirit when you're not living a holy life. That's why it feels like it's like ripping flesh. It's like pulling teeth. Do you know why? Because you're trying to pray without holiness. So you are trying to pray flesh prayers. And then you get frustrated why your prayers didn't reach the throne room. He said, oh, I thought God was everywhere. He heard everything. And one preacher told me one time, I could do anything and pray anything and God won't hear. Well, Proverbs says he turns his ear away from the ungodly. Holiness is what guides your life and guides your prayer life. Demons even called him holy. Mark chapter 1, verse 24. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know you are the Holy One of God. Demons know he's holy, does the church. Back to our story in Exodus. Recap of Moses. Moses led the children of God, the children of Israel, out of 400 years of slavery in Exodus. Moses was a Hebrew baby that was born, and Pharaoh was murdering all of the newborn baby boys. And so Pharaoh's mom put him in a basket. You're probably familiar with the story, and sent him down the Nile River, and Pharaoh's daughter found him. And then Moses' older sister met Pharaoh's daughter and said, hey, I'll find an Egyptian woman or a Hebrew woman that can wean him for you and nurse him for you. And so when he became the age, he moved in with Pharaoh. He was raised in Pharaoh's house. house like one of Pharaoh's sons. And then he sees an Egyptian kill a Hebrew, and he kills the Egyptian. And then people find out about it, and so he runs. So he spent the first 40 years of his life in Egypt. He spent the next 40 years of his life on the backside of a desert. And now he's entering a new season of his life, or a new 40 years. Pick it up in Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 2. It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire. Someone say flame of fire. And out of the midst of the bush, he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see a great sight. Why is the bush not burned? Verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place that you are standing is holy ground. I want to speak to the flame of fire. The Bible says it was an angel of the Lord that called to him. But we know through scripture that anytime an angel of the Lord is referenced, it's usually not speaking to just an angel, but actually Jesus. Watch Genesis 32. It says a man wrestled with angels. But we know according to Isaiah 63, that angel of the Lord was not just a regular angel, but that was Jesus. Why do we know it was Jesus? Because the angel said, I am the Lord. And an angel would not say, I am the Lord, unless he was the Lord. So the same angel that wrestled with Jacob, that same angel is on fire in this bush. And the Bible says that it was burning, but it was not consumed, because the fire purifies, it doesn't consume. A couple years ago, man, this carpet is, we're just having trouble here. So there we go. So a couple years ago, Pastor Robert Morris of Gateway Church planted Mercy Culture Church. And a couple years ago, he posted on Instagram, he said, hey, pray, my property got caught on fire. He has some land, a ranch, and it got caught on fire. And don't hold me to this, but I believe that the fire started on the neighbor's property and then it transferred over to his property. And he's showing these photos on Instagram of just these blaze going through his property. So I remember stopping and praying when I heard about it, and then I didn't hear anything else about it until we were at Gateway Staff Chapel. So Mercy Culture staff, we go to Gateway Staff Chapel once a month, and we're at Gateway Staff Chapel, and he starts talking about it. And he said, I thought it was this horrible thing that my land caught on fire. He said, until the fire department put it out. And then the fire department told me how lucky I was. And he said, how was I lucky that my land caught on fire? And he said, they said I was lucky because when the land gets scorched like this, how good the fire is from the land. And I called his son James just to get the details of the story. And James said to me, he said it was amazing because there was a light wind that was blowing when the fire was taking place. And he said, and the light wind keeps the fire moving, so it burns up all of the thorns, all of the thistles, all of the things in the land that harm the land. But watch, the wind keeps it from moving. I got goosebumps right now. And so the trees that are rooted in the soil, they don't get touched. They don't get damaged. In fact, the fire is a natural fertilizer that produces life to the ground. You're not going to believe this. James texted me on Friday and he said, hey, I just went to the Forest Service website. He said, and they have something that they call prescribed fires. Let me read you, I never thought I'd be preaching from the Forest Service's website. A prescribed fire reduces hazardous fuels and it protects humans and communities from extreme fires. Let me say it with spiritual slant to it. The prescribed fire protects humans from extreme hell. Woohoo! Okay, here we go. It minimizes the spread of pests
insects in disease, those pests called demons, that disease called COVID-19. Watch, it removes unwanted species from the land. Come on, someone say, fear go. Holy Spirit, come. Watch. And here's what it does. It provides food for the game. It improves habits from threatened and endangered species. Okay. It improves the habit for the weak believer. The fire is what removes the thorns from those that are weak in their flesh. It recycles and nutrients back to life the soil. The fire brings the dead places back to life. And watch, it promotes growth on trees, wildfires, and other plants. You thought the fire was gonna hurt you, but the fire is what brings you back to life. Some of you have been dead in your relationship with God and you've been resisting the fire, but the fire is what heals you.
The other night I was about ready to go to bed and we put our kids to bed early. We start bedtime at 7 and they go to bed by 7:30. If you want me to teach a parenting class, I will do that online later. They say, wow, you guys are such disciplined parents. No, we need sanity in the evening. Bless God. Okay. And so it's about 8 o'clock and my son comes down and he said, Dad, I can't sleep. And usually he pretends that he had a dream and he hadn't even slept yet or something like that. And so I'm trying to figure out what's going on. He said, Dad, it hurts really bad. And I said, what hurts? So he goes, it hurts really bad. He had this kind of infection on his leg. And out running around and bugs and dirt and who knows what, and it quarantined it. So I said, okay, so we got a hot salt bath, Epsom salt, hot salt bath. And I made the water hot enough for a little boy, but not too hot for him. And I said, here, buddy, you got to get it. And he said, no, it's too hot. It's going to hurt. And I said, bud, no, it won't burn you. It's just, it's a little hotter than you're used to, but you need it because it's gonna help you. And he said to me, no, Dad, no, it's gonna hurt. I said, buddy, it's not gonna hurt. And so I ended up having to help him into the water that he thought was gonna hurt him. And the next morning he came downstairs, he said, Dad, it's much better. Thanks, Dad. See, a lot of you are resisting a fire from the Holy Ghost that you think is going to hurt you, when really the only fire that's going to hurt you is the fire of hell. And this fire is not going to hurt you. This fire is going to help you. This fire is going to heal you. This fire is going to help deliver you. And I'm telling you right now, we serve a good Father. We serve a good God. And He will not allow a fire to hurt you. This fire is going to produce in you. The fire was not the relationship. The fire just caught His attention. Holiness was the relationship. Listen, you don't have a relationship with the fire of God. You encounter the fire of God, and then you have a relationship through His holiness. Exodus 3:4, God called to him, watch, out of the bush. So now there's a bush on fire that is not being consumed. It's just burning, and now God is speaking out of a bush. I just want to stop for a moment and speak to everybody that's afraid of a virus that could come on you. When we believe that God speaks to bushes that are on fire, that are not consuming, that talk. We just put it in perspective for a second. We have faith that God speaks to bushes that are on fire, that don't get consumed, that talk. But you're afraid of a virus. I'm going to go back to my text right now. I just felt the spiritual toes and houses. There was married couples looking across the room at each other, pointing fingers, sending Instagram messages. I just felt it in my spirit. Listen. God begins to speak out of a bush. Do you know why? Because He's in the presence of God, and it's easy to hear when you're in the presence of God. When you're in the presence of God, you hear Him in bushes. When you're in the presence of God, you hear him in songs. When you're in the presence of God, you hear random things. When you're in the presence of God, you see it all over the place. You hear it all over the place. It is easy to hear God when you're in his presence. If you didn't hear that series, you can go listen to it on our website. He said this, take off your shoes. Take off your shoes. This isn't the only time in the text where we say take off the shoes. We see it in Joshua 5 verse 15 where the Lord commanded Israel, take off your sandals for the place where you are standing is holy. We see it again in Acts chapter 7 verse 33 where the Lord said, take off your sandals for the place that you are standing is holy ground. Why did God have us do that over and over, have people do that over and over in the word of God? Because to put off your shoes or your sandals was first a sign of reverence. Then it was a sign of humility. Then it was a sign of honor. And then it was a sign of sensitivity. When you remove your shoes, you have to tread lightly where you're walking. Because the bottoms of your shoes, your feet, are sensitive. And so, when you take them off, all of a sudden, you have to tread softly. When you're not wearing shoes, anyone ever sneak out of house at night and you're walking and you just step on one rock, not a bunch of rocks, just one rock, and what it feels like, there's a great sensitivity that you have walking in the night, stubbing your toe. Listen, the reason we have shoes on is because shoes protect our feet. When you take your shoes off, you're saying, Lord, I'm not going to use anything in the flesh to protect me. I'm going to allow you to guide me. It's walking with great sensitivity. That's why over and over when you feel like you're in a holy moment, feel free to take off your shoes. Literally, when you take off your shoes, you begin to minister unto the Lord. Just make sure your feet and socks are pleasant so you minister to the rest of us. Can I get an amen in a spirit-filled church? They removed their feet because they were standing with the holy ground. Listen, a relationship with the Holy Spirit creates a sensitivity of his holiness. What do I mean by that? It means you're watching something that you've watched before, but it grieves you in a new way because it grieved him. And you can't just sit and watch what you used to watch when your shoes are off than when your shoes were on. When there's a sensitivity of the Holy Spirit, it means that you cannot engage in conversations that you used to have and say, I really shouldn't say this, but. It means you can't listen to what you used to listen to. It means you can't watch what you used to watch. You can't engage into what you used to engage because your spirit becomes sensitive. Sometimes I'll even go into cities and I'll feel this heaviness or this grievance in my spirit because I'm sensitive to spiritual atmospheres. Let me ask you this question. Are you sensitive to the spiritual atmosphere in your home? Let me just pastor you for a second. Have you changed the atmosphere in your home since quarantine? Have you built an altar yet? I feel like I'm supposed to ask somebody, what are you waiting for? You hear all of us talking about it in pre-service prayer. Pastor Chris was talking about it, building the altar. It's not complicated to do. It's brick by brick. It's moment by moment. It's prayer by prayer. It's song by song. It's moment by moment declaring, this is a place you can dwell. Worship team, come and join me. Exodus 3:5. He says, for the place in which you are standing is holy ground. Just stay with me for a moment. Don't get distracted at home or wherever you're listening right now. I want you to hear this word. Because the Lord changed my entire message this week. I was planning on preaching something totally different. And I heard the Lord say, holy ground. Led me to Exodus chapter 3. I'm reading this scripture. I'm very familiar with this scripture. It is one of the key scriptures in the building, the process of Moses. Moses went through all this journey with God. He saw a burning bush, the plagues in Egypt, all these things. And he cried out in Exodus 33:13, I still want to know you. I don't want to just hear a voice in the flame, a voice in the bush. I want to know the author of the flame. And the Bible says, watch, the ground was holy. The dirt was holy.
If we believe God's word, and it says that plot of ground, watch, the Holy Spirit said, don't come any closer. Moses, stay over there. You can't walk on this dirt. This dirt is holy ground. And he said, take off your shoes. So he takes off his shoes. And he's standing. He's standing on this holy ground. He's standing on dirt. He's standing on the earth. And God said, this dirt is holy. The Lord spoke to my spirit this week. He said, you know what else is made out of dirt? The Bible says, out of the dirt of the ground, he formed man. Out of the dirt of the ground, he reached down and made something that he would design to be set apart unto himself. Church, that's why his word says in 2 Timothy 2:20, but also of wood and of earth, of earthen vessels, he pours himself out. God needs to make dirt holy. There was nothing special about this dirt. There was nothing special about this ground. The only thing that made it special was God's presence was there. And when God's presence came upon dirt, he called it holy. If God's presence can make that dirt holy, God's presence can make your dirt holy. If God's presence can make ordinary people holy, God's presence makes broken lives holy, broken lives pure. That's what God does. His holiness makes people holy. His holiness will take your dirt, your filth, your junk. And when he takes his presence and he puts it in you, you become holy. That's why we say it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how many sins you've made. I don't care how many people that you've been with. I don't care what you've said. I don't care what you've given your lives to. I don't care what you've given your bodies to. I don't care what deeds you've done, how bad you are. I hear it all the time, preacher. You don't know how bad I am. You don't know the mistakes I've made. You don't know the people I've hurt. You don't know what I've done. And I respond, he makes dirt holy. Just by his presence being there. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all over this place? To know the Holy Spirit, you have to know his holiness. Holiness takes you from the place of his presence to the carrier of his presence. Some of you have known sin, and it's time that you know a holy God. Sin separates us from a holy God. And wherever you are, wherever you're watching from, if you can, I want you to do this. I want you to just bow your heads and close your eyes. I want you to forget who's in your home right now. Forget about your watch party. Forget about all the things that you have to do. Come on, don't be a Martha right now. Be a Mary. Just focus on the presence of God. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities or sins have made a separation between you and your God. How do I make my dirt holy? How does someone like me that has made so many mistakes become holy? It's so easy, friends. You just repent. I love the beauty of that question. Because even in that question, you realize that there's a separation between you and him. And Jesus came and died on the cross to bring you back into relationship with God. There's nothing we can do in 1,000 lifetimes to be holy on our own. But Jesus takes broken people in broken lives. He takes broken marriages. He takes broken sons and daughters. He takes people of sin and he calls them his own. He washes them. He cleans them. He forgives them. And the Bible says this, that he takes your filthy rags, all of your dirt, and he washes it as white as snow. And here's what God says then. He said, now you shall be holy, according to 1 Peter, because I am holy. What he does is, you were once set apart, you were once distant, and he brings you unto himself. And he does it through Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, wherever you are, just ask Jesus to forgive you of whatever sins you have right now. Just do it right now. If you're driving in your car, do it right now. Father, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me of what? Forgive me of everything. Every thought, every action. Sins from years ago. Sins from yesterday. Mindsets, actions, thoughts, lust, perversion, all of it. Father, I ask you right now to forgive me. Some of you might need to take your shoes off wherever you are and just declare the place that you're at to be holy ground. Come on, begin to ask the fire of God, the all-consuming fire, to come and fall on you right now. I feel strong in my spirit. Somebody at home, you need to take your shoes off right now. Take your socks off right now. Come on and stand on holy ground. Kneel on holy ground. Declare, Father, this place where you are, I'm declaring, is holy. Where you manifest your presence is holy. I declare, if you can make the dirt holy, you can make my life holy. If you can make the dirt pure, you can give me new life. Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. Come on, sing that. You're holy, Ross. You're holy. You're holy. You're holy. You are.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.